Hello, and thanks for listening to the 10th episode of our Talking Alexa podcast. I'm Jonathan Patricio, technical advisor and Alexa evangelist. I'm here with Joel Evans, Alexa champion and one of the founding members of our Global Alexa Lab. Please say hello, Joel.
Hello.
Before we jump into today's topic, I wanted to give you a little more insight into why we started this podcast. Quite simply, we're big believers in the power of voice, and we want to share it with you. So please reach out if there's anything you'd like to know. Each week or so, we'll be discussing the latest voice trends and use cases, highlighting the latest features and releases, and of course, answering any questions you may have had about getting started with voice in your business. Last week was loaded with some great announcements around new devices and sporting Alexa inside. Make sure to listen to our roundup and our first thoughts around each. Also last week, we teased that we were going to talk about how Alexa has been integrated into our own lives. We'll cover that, and we'll also go into some detail around how Alexa is being used in healthcare scenarios, since monitoring your home and other people's homes falls into that, which were some of our use cases too. I know that Joel has also been tricking out his car and his home, that he is a gadget guy. So why don't we start with how we use it on a daily basis?
Sure.
Fill me in.
My favorite subject. So my office is actually tricked out with some TP-Link Wi-Fi light bulbs. So I say Alexa office on, Alexa office off. Pretty exciting stuff. But the interesting thing was, for whatever reason, where my wall socket is for the light switch, it wasn't deep enough, so I couldn't use a traditional, you know, sort of turn on and off light switch. So those are available, so you don't need Wi-Fi enabled bulbs necessarily, but there's a bunch of scenarios where a Wi-Fi enabled bulb actually comes in really handy. So happy to report that they work out great. except when someone tries to come into the office and they don't know what to say to actually turn the lights on and off. So just be aware
given that you have a number of children in your family, are there any issues with, you know, everyone knowing what to say to turn on and off the lights? Do you sometimes find that you're sitting in a dark room?
They actually haven't done that to me, which is funny, but they have, especially my wife has forgotten how to turn the light on and off with the special saying. So she's told me that when I'm traveling, sometimes she's come in with the flashlight of her iPhone to try and find something in the office, because that's also where the home printer is. So not the ideal scenario if you're living in a family situation, but there are plenty of lamps around homes that are not immediately accessible via a wall switch. So Wi-Fi enabled bulbs do a nice job there.
Right. Yeah, I have exactly the same thing going on.
So we start with Wi-Fi enabled bulbs. We've got, you know, certainly dots and shows and echoes themselves scattered about the house. So in the kitchen is sort of where the whole family wakes up. So they always start off with asking about the weather. And I've actually enabled the AccuWeather skill because I wanted to play around with notifications. So that was pretty interesting. So she'll give you a much more detailed analysis of what's happening in your area if you were so inclined to enable one of the skills. But even out of the box, though, if you say, you know, Alexa, what's the weather today? I actually even just did it today because one of my children came down in pants and a sweatshirt, and it's going to be 80 degrees today. So I was like, see, you don't believe me? Let's see what Alexa says. And then certainly sports scores, no specific skills needed there, although you can enable your favorite team sports skills, which does a really nice job, again, of going into a lot more detail. And music, you have Amazon Music and then in Amazon Music Unlimited. So in my case, I have both my library of music uploaded, and then I also pay for Music Unlimited because my children like to request songs that I do not have in my collection because they're way too new for my music taste. And then certainly last but not least, we do a lot of different sports trivia and other trivia skills and have a lot of fun there. The traditional use cases that the Echo first shipped with, we actually do use it as a countdown timer in the kitchen. I have been known to use it for random measurement conversions because I don't always remember everything. And my son has a dot, my 12-year-old has a dot in his room, and he uses it for bedtime music and even getting some sports scores as he's going to bed, and then certainly the wake-up alarm scenarios. So that's in the home. And in the car, she's in my center console, and she does a really great job there. it's just not fully integrated into my car, and that's something I'm working on doing more of, so that it's just kind of second nature without even thinking about it, to start using it and having fun with it. But when I do have it on, listen to music, basically the same scenarios, except that's where a lot of fun gameplay has occurred. You know, you're on a longer trip or even a short trip and trying to keep the kids occupied. You can start, you know, doing a whole bunch of different games that are skills on Alexa.
And you just like hook it up to your mobile phone roaming?
Exactly. I've got it a power inverter, pretty straightforward, goes into the lighter. So then the dock can plug directly into the power inverter, and then I turn on the hotspot on my phone, and away we go. And that's what I mean by not being fully integrated. There's a couple of other scenarios. If I had a constant hotspot built in, that would be one way. So so that's very sorry doable. It took so long there, got a little too excited.
I mean, I think how you and your family are using it to generally how I'm using it too. I mean, I find that I use my Echo probably, you know, next to my bedside the most. I love it for turning off my lights at night, for setting that alarm in the morning, for checking. I actually do use it for the calendar. You know, I usually don't go right through on my calendar, but I kind of find out, well, when is it I have to wake up tomorrow? You know, how early do I have to get up for a meeting?
That's because you're on the West Coast and you have these evil East Coasters making you wake up early.
Well, yeah, and then my family are all in the UK, so you know they also want to talk with me early on. And then so I use it for I'm also beginning to use my Echo Show to watch movie trailers. You know, if I'm like looking for inspiration for what's on, I can actually like find movie trailers in my local vicinity fairly easily and watch the trailers right from the Echo Show screen, which is kind of cool. I don't have to kind of pull up an app on my phone. And then I often start my day. I mean, I know that there's also going to be routines added at some point, which allows you to kind of like start to collect different things you would do in the morning. You know, would probably be, you know, play your news, turn on your coffee pot, you know, that sort of thing. So I actually do use it in the morning quite a lot as I'm waking up listening to the news. I listen to quite a lot of the flash briefings, which I find, you know, useful and pretty convenient. And then I set up a music everywhere so that now I can, I don't have Sonos in my house, so I can actually now listen to music wherever I have an Echo, which is kind of cool too. And I think if I was going to do things more, I would definitely like to kind of do more travel, at least pricing out flights and checking of those, doing that. I know there are some skills out there that do that. I don't tend to use them as much as I probably should. Another area that I think I would love to do more with the Echo is start using the calling. And, you know, they just recently opened up the ability to call any telephone. Also, my parents have an Echo in Scotland. I bought them a Dot, and so it's in their front room. And my mom just said this morning that she noticed that feature was like now available. So we're gonna play around with it and see if it's possible to do some calls, you know, across the Atlantic, which is kind of cool.
You know, you reminded me, so the Echo Show, when it first came out, I dropped one in my, and I think I mentioned this on a previous podcast, but I dropped one in my kitchen and actually left one at our friend's house. And our kids are the same age as our friend's kids, and they're in a different state and this, that, and the other. But anyway, so every time they're playing like Roblox against each other, all of a sudden I'll hear them say, you know, Alexa, call blah, blah, blah. And next thing you know, our two kitchens are like completely connected for hours on end. So, you know, that's a lot of fun. And I think same thing, you can do that with your family, because it's really just, what's the strength of your Wi-Fi at that point? Like, why not?
Why? Yeah, you've got it anyway as a sort of, you know, stream of service you're paying for. Why not use it?
And then there's also, you know, the smart home cameras that you can, you know, sort of set up and drop in on now, which I have not fully investigated yet, but definitely something I'm thinking about more as more and more people show me on their smartphone. I'm like, be a fun thing to have on the Echo Show itself. Just sort of doing them drop-in.
Yeah, the drop-in and call, you know, Echo calling use cases make me sort of think that we should just slightly flip topics here and talk about use cases for voice and for even screen and camera in the healthcare in the healthcare vertical. Let's talk about some of those. I'm just wondering if you wanted to like explain to our listeners, you know, the kinds of use cases that we're seeing in healthcare and you know, where voice will really sort of help improve some of these use cases.
Sure. Well, I think, you know, we've talked before, and even we're directly responsible for it, we being Mobiquity, using the Alexa as a virtual concierge. And I think that's probably one of the biggest things we continue to see, especially in a healthcare scenario. So, you know, you, for whatever reason, you maybe you don't have full use of all your faculties, so you're either, you know, it's easier to speak to it and ask your questions or whatever the case may be, but you could ask about, you know, daily news that's going on. You could ask about the menu if you're in a sort of a facility or a hospital or something like that, and really just kind of all the general information. So right there, you've got your sort of virtual concierge experiences, and we just talked about turning lights on and off. So obviously, that's a winner right there. Turning lights on and off, adjusting the temperature. As we continue to hook in more smart home features, you can only imagine how much easier it gets for everybody. And then I think, you know, some of the other pieces that we've talked about with our clients is also, you know, some of the concerns are, for the caretakers, how do you know when someone is actually, you know, where they're supposed to be, or that they did check in for the night, right? It's sort of one of those things, like a virtual caretaker scenario. So even something as simple as being able to say, you know, Alexa, I'm leaving now. And she would then say, and these are scenarios, right? I mean, nobody's built them yet, but, you know, I'm leaving now. Oh, okay. Where are you going? How long are you going to be there, et cetera? And then you basically set up thresholds. If someone hasn't checked back in by 5 o'clock, then they can do that by invoking the skill again. Then it can go to different escalation paths and sort of alert the caretaker that maybe someone didn't come back in. And certainly over time, we can hook in sensors and a bunch of other stuff. So it doesn't necessarily have to be the person. It's the magic of the smart home extensions, especially with the new Echo Plus coming to market. It'll have that sort of the hub-like features built right in. And then, you know, certainly the other pieces are, you know, what medications am I taking? If it's needed, did I take my medication? And even, you know, when's my doctor's appointment or scheduling an appointment with the doctor? So you can start seeing the value of it, because it becomes a check-in without checking in with another human. And so maybe the person doesn't feel like somebody is like supervising every little thing that they do at all times.
Right. And then I guess if the extension of it is that, you know, for the, you know, daughter or the son who's like within driving distance, but maybe 45 minutes away, they could actually even tie into this as well and know when the, you know, when the person has taken their medication or if they've gone out and if they're okay, mm-hmm. must be, you know, really reassuring.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I was also thinking through some of the things that we're seeing are, you know, to really improve the experience of the visitor and the patient in clinics, in hospitals, in multi-room, you know, places where people are taking having care. And, you know, I think one of the big motivations is to, you know, reduce those readmission rates, improve survey results. You know, are they really being effective? And I think there are lots of use cases in that area. You know, they range from, you know, simply making the patient more comfortable, you know, whether that be, you know, keeping them occupied, you know, being in a hospital room, nobody wants to, you know, to be there for very long, but having, you know, the entertainment and being able to command that entertainment by voice instead of having to reach for a remote, which is always probably, you know, somewhere else or falling off the bed. Those sorts of things I think are very powerful. And then again, sort of range from, well, when am I going to get breakfast today? You know, where's the, if you have visitors, you know, where can they go get coffee? What are the hours for the cafeteria? You know, where do they pick up, you know, prescriptions and where's the pharmacy located? I think those are, you know, very easy things to do, which don't verge on any of this sort of personal health information,
right.
You know, which I think is an important consideration for using, you know, voice in these circumstances is how do you sort of circumvent some of that HIPAA compliance information at this point. Do you have any thoughts on sort of that whole area of regulated applications and voice applications?
Well, I think it's inevitable that someone's going to be cracking through it soon, but I think there's a bunch of different healthcare scenarios like you just talked about, and even ones where you could, in theory, you know, hook into some different medical records based on whatever the privacy concerns are. But, you know, you as the user could certainly opt in for that or give permissions to others, right? I mean, when you go into a hospital, you sort of sign all these things that are giving people different permissions. So I think we're, you know, we'll come along.
Yeah.
I don't know what the roadmap is. I haven't looked into that particular roadmap. But I mean, the nice thing is that a lot of the use cases we just described in the last, you know, however many minutes are things that are life changers, right?
Yeah,
I mean, you know, even
absolutely.
if somebody's living alone, there's been studies that have shown even someone that's just living alone, just talking to Alexa actually feels like they're not as isolated. And the fact that she can actually execute and do things on your behalf, and now with the show and drop-in and Echo calling and using the Echo to call landlines, I mean, it really is a completely voice-enabled world. And she's getting better and better every day at understanding, you know, what you're trying to get her to do. So definitely a win there.
I mean, I think also there's some use cases that we're seeing too, which can really help in that, you know, area of I need help, whether it be I just need fresh towels. And, you know, one we've certainly heard is that sometimes, you know, nurses are busy in their daily routine and then they get asked to do something which really another staff member can take care of, and it really diverts them and distracts them. And so, you know, putting in services where a patient or a visitor can say, I really think the bed needs changing, and they can actually make that request. And then, you know, it basically summons help to the specialized staff that can actually come in and do that. The right staff, you know, sends out SMS texts or, you know, however they're alerted via a paging system, makes it much more efficient. And then also, you know, just those use cases where you're trying to do pain reduction, right? So they don't involve any patient information. All you're sort of saying is that, you know, I have pain right now. Can you come and help me? And he can ask you, well, is it severe pain? Is it and actually kind of like gauge the urgency of it and then push out the, you know, the request as soon as it can. I think that can be really a powerful use case too. And then I think the final thing is just that connection between sort of pre-admission in the home, where you can have Alexa in the home, then the inpatient stay, sort of like the actual inpatient visit in the room during the operation or whatever it might be, and then also post-stay, and then making sure that you've got a continuous arc of, you know, engaging in sort of questions and surveys and making sure that you're actually taking care of any issues that happen across those different phases.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is I've done some physical therapy, and my son just finished doing some. And it's what's interesting is when you first start, you're feeling, you know, distraught. You feel like you're never going to recover. And then when they do the final check-in and you take that same survey again, you're blown away that, you know, previously you would have answered, no, I can't move, or no, it would hurt me to walk, you know, to walk 10 feet or whatever the case may be. So it's interesting that you bring up the survey thing, because a lot of times someone thinks they're in pretty severe pain, but based on since it actually right away would have the history, and even when the hospital like changes staff, etc., you know, they may not know that 10 hours ago, you know, whatever your level of pain may have been. So you may have rated yourself as a 10 last time, now you're rating yourself as a 6. You could write a skill that immediately looks at that even and says something back to you. Oh, are you feeling better than you were 12 hours ago? Because cool.
Yeah, well, we're always interested in hearing about your particular, you know, use cases, whether they be in healthcare or any other sort of vertical. So if you have specific questions in that realm, like please send them in. So Joel, anything more to add?
Of course, Jonathan. Well, I'm sure you saw the news, but potentially others have not. And even some of this overlapped with some of the announcements that came you know, last week, which we covered, but Alexa is coming to some other countries. So it's coming to India this month, and it'll have more than 10,000 skills available. According to the announcement, a number of the top brands in India have gone on board and will have skills launching at the time that Alexa becomes available. You'll be able to purchase an Echo Plus, and an Echo Dot. So very exciting. And then not to be left out, it's coming to Japan. We don't know when, later this year sometime. And customers will be able to request an invite to purchase an Echo. So India is getting the Echo Plus and the Echo Dot. Japan's getting the Echo, it seems, right now. The U.S. gets everything, so we're spoiled. But really exciting that it's expanding and that there's some interesting challenges ahead, right? I mean, that's not just English anymore.
Language dialects, all those dialects across those, you know, 1.3 billion people in India now? That's going to be a massive market.
Yeah, that's absolutely crazy. And in Japan, there's a bunch of Alibaba, right? Didn't they make their own sort of competitor to the Echo? Because they want to make sure that they've got that voice commerce going. So it'll be interesting to see how all these things get accepted in other countries.
Yeah, definitely.
That's it for me.
All right. Well, so as always, you can call us, keep your emails and messages coming in, and you'll find a reach out link at the bottom of our Mobiquity Inc. Alexa, Talking Alexa podcast webpage. So please send in your comments, and that's it for today. Thanks so much for listening.